It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Film lovers, welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soze. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Voice you heard is the man responsible for Throwback Friday radio intros. That's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
And, yes, a big nod to Roddy Piper, who we'll hopefully talk about a little later on in the show, because we have dead people we like, because
we
don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Not
and in the second half of the show, we should have a mystery guest.
Ooh.
And we say that because we're really hoping he picks up the phone when it's time for our chat. So we'll see how that goes. Kobe, I lied to you during our production meeting.
Mm-hmm.
This is the live production meeting during the show portion of the show.
during the show portion of the show.
That's right. I'd like to pull the trailer for Ricky and the Flash.
Okay.
Opening in theaters today, Fantastic Four. Did you ask for another Fantastic Four reboot?
No. Which didn't they just made one like what, 10 years ago?
Eight years ago was the last one. And not screened for the press. So you can go to the Film Yap and read Joe Shearer's review of that. It is definitely not an art film. And but it's one of those, I think it's like what 20th Century Fox has with the Fantastic Four, I think it's like what Sony has with Spider-Man. They're just going to keep rebooting it because so long as they own the rights to it. So, yeah. Anyway, it's out there if you really want to see the Fantastic Four. I wasn't all that crazy about the first two.
Fantastic Four is Marvel, though, isn't it?
I know, but it's a studio. I think it's a studio that owns it. Anyway, it's long, complicated. Anyway, it's out there. Enjoy that.
Stan Lee doesn't care.
He does not care. He is sleeping. He is sleeping on a mattress filled with $1,000 bills. He's doing quite fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing okay. So that's the one thing. Regardless of the movies, whether they're good or terrible, we all like Stan Lee.
Yes, we do.
Cool dude.
Also
out there is the thriller The Gift, which I wanted to see. It's intriguing. This one with Jason Bateman and Joel Edgerton, who co-wrote, I believe, directed and starred in it, about high school. Not really high school friends, but high school acquaintances who reunite, and things get real sinister real fast. Reports I have heard, smarter than the average thriller. So, but you still won't see it.
Nope.
That's fine. However, opening in theaters this weekend, and it's a film with sort of an Indiana link, which we'll explain when we hear some audio. It's Ricky and the Flash. You have a really solid cast. You have Meryl Streep, Kevin Kline. You have Streep's daughter, Mamie Gummer, in this, as well as Audra McDonald, for you Broadway fans. It is written by Diablo Cody, who, of course, gave us Juno.
Yep.
And it's directed by Jonathan Demme, who's given us everything from Stop Making Sense, Silence of the Lambs, Rachel Getting Married, which is a companion piece to this film, in my opinion. And Rick Springfield is also in this. Can't wait to talk about him. Here's some audio.
Nazo, and I'd like to introduce my band, The Flash. Like a cold one on a summer's day.
Hello? I've been trying to call you. It's Julie, our daughter. Max left her.
What?
You brought your guitar?
Yeah, just the one.
Whoa, Mom, you're here. It's like the 80s all over again.
Hope Maureen doesn't mind that I'm here.
Oh, hi.
We're really concerned about Julie.
What happened?
Max came home and told me that he was in love with a girl named Nicole.
She's gonna be all right. She's always been a fighter.
Well, she's had to be.
Here she comes.
I have all my kids in one room.
Mom.
Oh. Why aren't you wearing your engagement ring?
You two are engaged?
Who wants some appetizers?
We're practically eloping, Mom.
Why don't you be honest, Josh, and just tell Mom that you don't want her at the wedding?
Sir, would you like another martini?
Yeah, keep them coming.
Day after day, I'm more confused.
I've missed so much.
There was a hole in this family, and I filled it.
They're all grown up now.
You think because you screwed up once, you don't get a second chance?
Hey!
Why did you walk out on my daughter?
Our daughter.
Julie hates you.
That may be. And I have to live with that every day of my life, but now you have to live with the pain you caused.
It really doesn't matter if your kids love you or not. It's not their job to love you.
It's your job to love them.
Call in sick. Go to the old neighborhood. Sometimes a girl just needs her mother. Lots of things are going to change in your life.
Someday you're going to wake up and find a gray hair.
And I don't mean on your head. I was never a traditional mom, but I am a musician, and I'd like to give all I have to you.
I'd like to think that the film itself is slightly edgier than the trailer you just heard.
Wasn't very edgy.
Right. But on paper, these are stories we've seen before. We've seen the separated parents who have to reunite. We have the wedding scenario. We have mother-daughter scenario. We have aging rock star scenario. All these we've seen before in one way, shape, or form. What really helps is the cast. Meryl Streep, as we all know, can sing. She's been able to do it in the last several films, even going as far back as Postcards from the Edge. And she can play guitar on this. She can strum a few chords. It also helps that in your movie band, you have Rick Springfield doing most of the lead work. And there's finally a Sophie's Choice reunion between Kevin Kline and Meryl Streep. So... And what's interesting about the Streep character, because Kobe being a musician and studying under the brilliant Dr. Baker.
Yes.
I use, of course, Dr. Baker. Where, it should, truth be known, both of us have spent separate but quality time with David Baker. But it is not the movie star look at a rock star. Meryl Streep's character had one album in the 80s. And the band that you see in the trailer, it's a house band that she's had a gig at in suburban Los Angeles since 2008. So there is that. This is an old ragged band that has to do cover tunes of recent songs in order to keep audiences coming back. Hearing a bar band do a Lady Gaga tune, hopefully you've never experienced that. But there is that. Also, the part is that Streep's character is pretty darn conservative despite her looks. There is a don't tread on me tattoo on her back. She talks kindly about veterans, doesn't talk so kindly about our current president. So it's interesting that dynamic. I remember the first real conservative musician I came across was Billy Sheehan from Mr. Big.
Really?
Yeah. It was 1992. His band, Mr. Big, was opening for Bryan Adams at the Ball State's newly opened, recently opened basketball arena. Mm-hmm. And we were talking backstage, and he thought Clinton getting elected was one of the worst things that could happen to the country. And this was 1992. I think we have a certain image as far as our rock stars kind of being rebellious, but they also have their own political opinions in that. So anyway, that is taken care of. Streep's real good. She has some nice scenes with Kevin Kline. Even Mamie Gummer, who plays Streep's daughter. I think she's played Streep's daughter in a couple of films. And nice chemistry with her and Rick Springfield. The Onion earlier this week did a random roles interview with Springfield. My mother liked Springfield back in the General Hospital days as Dr. Noah Drake. But here's a guy who's a very talented musician and did a lot of TV in the 70s, and he admits it was all junk. He had a cartoon in the early 70s and did a lot. He did a guest spot on Wonder Woman and a few other shows. And finally, in 1984, got to have his own starring vehicle in Hard to Hold, which is god-awful. And he even admits that it's god-awful. But he plays the guitarist in the band who also has a crush on Streep, who's not ready to commit. So we have these dynamics. Even when we get to the climax of the film, which, of course, is at a wedding, something that happens that will kind of drive some people crazy. If you read Ed Johnsonaut's review in Nouveau, he really didn't like it. But I think the performances are strong enough that I kind of let it give. I let it pass. It didn't bother me as much. So it's not a great film, but it's a good. I enjoyed it. I think, like I said, the characters overcome some of the faults with the script. And do you have a? Are you hitting that? No, you didn't have a reaction ready.
No.
Okay, that's sorry. Now.
Now that was a good movie.
That's a proper response. Now, full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, there was some hubbub around the station this week because
hubbub,
not StubHub. We're not giving away tickets. But there is a scene in the film. By the way, Kevin Kline's character lives in Indianapolis. We'll get to that. But there is a scene in a kitchen with Kline and Streep, and you can sort of hear it. There is soundtrack music going on, but there's also a radio going on with a newscast that's done by WFYI's own Christopher Ayers.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I was told by some of the powers that be here at the station, TriStar got in touch with the station to get permission to use that in the show, in their film. And
wow.
So that's cool. In there. And Kevin Kline, an IU graduate, wears an IU shirt. Ladies and gentlemen, film not shot in Indianapolis, shot in New York State. There is a scene where they go to Streep and her daughter, stage and real life, screen daughter in real life, go to a donut shop in what looks, it's supposed to be Indianapolis. If anything, you might say it's Zionsville. With the brick road, and it looks like it's almost a brick road that is blocked off for foot traffic. But so not shot in Indianapolis. There's even a cab that's spelled INDIE, not a Y.
No,
little tiny things. So on one hand, yes, kudos to TriStar for putting in and that's the thing. I knew it was him because I was looking for it, and I recognize the tone of his voice when he's on the air. Most 99.9% of the people watching the film are probably not going to notice. But the fact is, they did the proper thing. Obviously, they had to do the right thing and call, get permission. There's right. compensation. We're not going to get into numbers, but the fact that between this and of course Fault in Our Stars, not shot in Indiana. I really wish we had a film commission once again. And I'm sure there are great tax breaks in New York State. Just something I think Indiana needs to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So there. There, I'm off my mahogany.
Take a step down.
I'm off my mahogany crucifix because, you might as well have the very best. But so that's out there. Okay. Also in theaters today is the new Woody Allen film, and it's called Irrational Man. It stars Joaquin Phoenix, not imitating Woody Allen, and he plays a burnt-out philosophy professor in a small college town who's trying to get his career back on track. He winds up having an affair with an alum, or not alum, but a colleague played by Parker Posey. But as we find out, a student has a crush on the professor, played by Emma Stone. And as time goes on, we find out that Joaquin's character is stuck in a rut, trying to find some reason to continue living, and he finds inspiration through murder. Now, this is a film, if you're a longtime Woody Allen fan, as I am, Kobe is not, there are moments that have hints, because of the murder aspect, that will give longtime Allen fans hints of or reminders of Match Point, and especially Crimes and Misdemeanors. As usual, it's a beautiful looking film. I'm not sure where they shot this, but of course the college looks like Woody Allen University, where everybody is young and good looking, and lots of the in crowd by Ramsey Lewis. Wall-to-wall use of Ramsey Lewis song in there. It's enjoyable to watch. It's nothing groundbreaking. It's probably like Allen's last few films, where it's you're not going to be thinking about it at the end of the year. But for 90 minutes with good actors and a good look and a good feel, and if you're into a little bit of dark comedy when it comes to murder, you could do a lot worse.
Now that was a good movie.
Also in theaters today, I have found something. I was talking with Stacey Studeville, one of our regulars here at Film Sociology and here at WFYI. If you have young children who aren't quite ready to read or cannot read, I think I found what could be a good first film for them, and it's the new Aardman animated feature, Shaun the Sheep. Of course, this is from the people that gave us Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run and Flushed Away. This is based on a character. There's a series, a short animated series, of course, called Shaun the Sheep, and lives on a farm. And, of course, the sheep is stuck in a rut, and there's, of course, animated mishaps, which leads to sheep and other characters, a dog and some other animals, having to make a trip into the big city to help rescue their farmer who has amnesia. It's a short film, no dialogue. There's a lot of grunting and noises, but as far as little kids that like to see colorful animals on a screen, and it's not as witty as Chicken Run or Wallace and Gromit, but it's still enjoyable. So, yes, all three Socies got to see this right after Emma's first day as an eighth grader. So, Yes, even the little hipster liked it. So that's saying something. So there you go.
Now that was a good movie.
Yeah, I think this week is good, not great. And especially for those kids and parents that are having to get adjusted to school life. Is Frank ready for cat school? He's got his beanie.
He's homeschooled.
He's got his little... Oh, no. He can't be...
Nah.
So he can't read?
No. Nope.
But he can dunk a ball?
Yep.
Sorry, old inside jokes. All right, Kobe.
Yes.
What is happening at your alma mater? Because I use Back in Session.
IU Cinema is back up and running this
Hooray!
Weekend with the Wolfpack tonight, Friday.
That's right.
At 7 o'clock, and tomorrow Saturday at 3 in the afternoon. The IMA Summer Night Film Series continues tonight with Singing in the Rain.
That's the stuff.
That is.
Are you guys going?
No.
Oh.
Not going to check out Singing in the Rain tonight. The Skyline.
Not the chili.
Nope. Drive-in. Skyline Drive-In.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four.
And?
Ant-Man.
Yes, of course. That's superhero movies, of course.
Then at 1:30.
Ooh, here we go. Now, for those who don't know, they always have an obscure, you've never heard of, kind of grindhousey one late at night.
This.
All right, let's go. Let's hear it.
Fantastic Four at 9:15, followed by Ant-Man at 11:15, followed at 1:30 a.m.
Yes.
From 1982, rated R, Demon Rage.
Ooh.
Do you know this?
No, this could have been something that was on like HBO for months and months on end. What does it say?
Woman in an unhappy marriage finds sexual fulfillment in her relationship with a ghostly, speechless presence who obviously doesn't quite say who he is.
Jim Tomsula.
Britt Eklund, Luna Wood, and Kabir Bedi.
Oh, Britt Eklund. You'll have to Google image her, Kobe. Vintage chicks.
So there's the Skyline. And
cool.
The Tibbs, Fantastic Four, and Ant-Man.
Of course.
Yep. Mission Impossible and Jurassic World.
Sure, action, yeah.
Vacation and Trainwreck.
Raunchy comedies, okay.
Pixels and Minions.
Okay, that sounds like a solid quartet of
solid
pairings.
Lineups all across the board.
Yeah, there isn't Irrational Man and Pixels.
Yeah.
And once again, for those longtime listeners, Film Sociology would love to have an art house drive-in. It's Woody Allen night at the drive-in. I just think that would be fun. That's all. Okay, so we're anything at the Art Craft Theater in Franklin?
I will check it out.
Why don't you check that? I'll get quick with films on DVD and Blu-ray. Not a lot of old titles. Insurgent is out on Blu-ray. Are you? You are one of the Divergent Insurgent people. Emma is.
I like it. Well,
it's,
I mean,
it's
I
not
like
Hunger
the,
Games.
It's not. It's different.
It's flawed.
I like Insurgent. Didn't read the books, not going to.
Okay.
Read the Hunger Games.
It's out there. I'm tired of futuristic hell in a handbag stories with a teenager at the helm. Sorry. Also out there for, Fair Sweet Bianca gave it a, we don't do thumbs, but she gave it a ringing endorsement, Far From the Madding Crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Also out there, True Story, which was the drama starring James Franco and Jonah Hill. And it wasn't all that lively or entertaining. Franco plays a guy on death row accused of murder. Jonah Hill is a disgraced reporter who tries to get a redemption story by doing an exclusive interview with James Franco. And mental mind games start to happen. Or do they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And no, sorry. Not entertaining. And for Fair Sweet Bianca, a new film version of Madame Bovary, if you need that. Also out there is a film called Child 44, which a couple of the guys I have coffee with on Saturday gave a ringing endorsement to. It stars Tom Hardy, Gary Oldman, and Noomi Rapace, as well as Patty Considine. It's set in Stalin-era Moscow, in which an agent investigates a string of child murders. So as I'm watching this, I keep thinking, okay, it's Russia after World War II. But if you think of it as a cop film with accents, and it does have traits of the American cop film as far as investigating a murder, and is there going to be a cover up? Is there corruption? Gary Oldman shows up about halfway through the film and provides a little bit as far as demoting and relocating Hardy character relocates into Oldman's realm. The film is overall okay. I think I got it. I wanted to see it mostly because of Tom Hardy, because I've liked the choices that he's made. And this is the second film he's done with Noomi Rapace. Of course, they work together in The Drop. Film's a tad too long at 2 hours and 10 minutes, and there's a climax that's literally too muddy for words. It's an okay film. I've seen more interesting work from Tom Hardy. We're going to go into the archives because we have not done this in a while. Well, Jim Bueller gave me a film to watch a couple weeks ago, but this is one that's been on my shelf for a while. This is from Warner Brothers. This is one that you have to order through Warner Brothers Archives, or as Kobe likes to put it.
Yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Only 15 to 20, depending on Warner Brothers. We're going back to 1946, and it's a film called The Verdict, not to be confused with the Paul Newman lawyer drama from the early 80s. Great film, by the way. But this is a film that is interesting of note because it teams up Sidney Greenstreet and Peter Lorre, for you fans of Casablanca, as well as The Maltese Falcon.
Mm.
And it's set in 1890s London. Greenstreet plays a Scotland Yard superintendent who is disgraced after he has put an innocent man on death row and was put to death. And then evidence to the contrary arrives after the man's death. Lorre plays his butler, and so now Greenstreet is disgraced, and he's trying to find out who actually committed the murder, as well as making the person who replaced him, who fired him, kind of make him look bad. It's interesting to see Greenstreet not play a heavy. Sorry, pardon the pun. We're used to him as kind of shady, nefarious characters like in Casablanca as well as The Maltese Falcon, but he's the lead in this one. The other film, and it's a pretty decent 40s potboiler, even if it's set in 1890 London. The other note is that this is the feature film directorial debut of Don Siegel, who would later direct Dirty Harry, Escape from Alcatraz, The Shootist, the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1956, was a huge influence on Clint Eastwood as a director, and it was just a solid, solid filmmaker. So that is out there if you are interested in that. Do we have Chris Lloyd's introduction of Dead People We Like?
Yes, we do.
All right.
But
what's
quick
up?
Check on the
oh,
art
yes,
craft.
Sir.
Nothing going on this week, but next week.
Yes, sir.
August 14th and 15th, we have from 1942, The Pride of the Yankees.
Ah, Gary Cooper is Lou Gehrig.
Yes.
You've seen Pride of the Yankees, right?
I have not.
Really?
Yes.
He's the luckiest man on the... He considers himself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, yeah, that's out there. That would be good. And you don't have to like the Yankees to like this film. I'm living proof.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this
we
week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
No, we don't. We never do. That's just radio gold. That's just so I love my fellow IFJA members who just give us little nuggets of joy. Thank you, Chris. Actor George Cole, English actor, who is probably best known. And you have something in common with George Cole, Mr. Slagle.
What's that?
George Cole played young Ebenezer Scrooge in the 1951 film version of A Christmas Carol.
Okay.
With Alistair Sims.
Yep.
So for those who – welcome to Inside Joke Radio. We had a WFYI version of A Christmas Carol, which we broadcast for a few years, and Kobe played young Ebenezer.
Yep.
So there's that. Anyway – and this is of course one of the films that's always on at Christmas time, and so he is in that. Appeared in other films, including Bikini Baby from 1951. It's got to be really large two pieces. If it's not The Intruder from 1953, Too Many Crooks from 1959. Played Flavius, not Flava Flav, in 1963's Cleopatra, of course with Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. Was in the Hammer horror film from 1970, The Vampire Lovers. You should check that out, Cobe. You should Google image Ingrid Pitt. From 1971, Fright. He also appeared in 1976's The Bluebird, directed by George Cukor. And the last thing I remember seeing him in was the bad thriller with Julia Roberts and John Malkovich from 1996, Mary Riley, directed by Stephen Frears. So salute to George Cole. Now, at the beginning of the show, you heard a line as far as our show intro. You heard Roddy Piper doing his most famous movie line from They Live from 1986, if I remember right. Or is it 88? Hold on a second. No, 1988, John Carpenter's They Live. Of course, wrestler Roddy Piper died last week at the age of 61. And was one of those guys became the wrestling foil, along with Ric Flair, in the 1980s, but was able to use that that wrestling villain persona and charisma to get a career in movies or afterwards. Some of the films, there was a wrestling comedy from 1978 starring Henry Winkler called The One and Only. He had an uncredited role in that. Appeared in Body Slam, of course, directed by Hal Needham. Buy and Sell, which was 1987. You know, Hell Comes the Frog Town, which is somewhere on cable being played right now. They Live, because of the fact that it was a John Carpenter film, and he plays an everyman in a futuristic world and finds out through a pair of magical sunglasses that not everything is what they seem. Famous for a fight scene with him and Keith David, which you can look up on YouTube right about now. So much so the fight was recreated in an episode of South Park. And then did a slew of movies afterwards. It was kind of going back and forth between wrestling and cinema. So, and I have to be honest, a lot of these films I've never heard of. But the man kept working, and less damage he could have done in the ring. Because yes, ladies and gentlemen, these guys do get hurt. Say what you will about professional wrestling. I also have a soft spot because my dad was a ringside physician for wrestling back in the late '60s. But the other thing is, wrestling has been called soap operas for dudes. And it's one thing if you could actually work in the ring, but if you could sell outside the ring in front of a microphone, you could go really, really far. And Roddy Piper did that. So salute.
I want to bring something, going back to IU Cinema.
Yes, sir.
Looking ahead at the schedule.
Plan ahead, folks. It's worth the trip down to Bloomington.
We've made a point to sort of highlight. Yes, we have made
proper use of
a point to kind of highlight the President's Choice series.
Oh,
of
yes,
IU
yes. This is our annual. We got to get the President on the show. John Vickers, call us.
Well, President of IU Cinema, yes, John Vickers. The President of Indiana University.
Yeah, I still want to get on the show.
Michael McRobbie has a series of films
that he has personally picked.
That he selects.
Michael, call us.
That he deems as masterpieces of cinematic achievement.
See, this is why I'm not a dean anywhere or a president.
IU Cinema, the first film of the President's Choice series for this year.
Yes.
Monday, August 24th.
Uh-oh.
From 2002.
Uh-huh.
City of God.
Really?
Yes.
The Brazilian shanty drama.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Good choice. Have you seen it?
I have not.
You have not.
I have not.
It's really good. That's a solid choice. Now, on the website, is there a list of his?
He's got. We've got to what looks to be maybe the end of the first semester.
Okay.
Later in the year, November, the Battle of Algiers.
Ooh, really. Excellent political drama from the 1966.
And then from 1987, The Last Emperor.
Ah, Bertolucci's Best Picture winner from 1987, which I saw in the theater. I always remember seeing that and Amadeus in the theater because I was at least 30 years younger than everybody else in the theater. Excellent. Good choices.
And then you can go back and then you can see all the previous choices, such as last year's Don't Look Back, Downfall, Judgment at Nuremberg, Juliet of the Spirits.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So, Michael, may we call you Michael? Please, give Film Sociology a call. We'd love to have you on the show. So, anyway, that should be a goal now that the school is back in session.
That'd be cool.
Try to get in touch with John Vickers, and we'll try to get in touch with IU President. Dude, you're an alum. Talk to him.
I'll walk in and see
you. You pay his salary, don't you? Sort of, kind of. No, not really. Hey, I think my tuition paid for your desk. We're kidding, of course. We kid. Anyway, so we'll work on that. That should be our semester. That's our semester project.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. All right, let's take a short break, and when we come back after the break, hopefully he's ready. Our mystery guest. Ooh. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, @MatthewSoci. Ladies and gentlemen, this is his last professional commitment before he gets to go on his holiday weekend. Our mystery guest is not really a mystery. If you know the show, you know he's been on. Chef Robert Irvine is on the horn. Hello, friend.
What's up?
Is this true? You're going on a summer holiday. You're going to sound like a Cliff Richard film.
Well, yeah, we've got my whole team, and it's kind of a vacation, but it's a little work involved too. So
okay, but
we have a dinner tomorrow night at the Sanctuary Resort and with Bo Mack, Chef Bo McMillan, and then a little downtime.
Well, good. So I think your business meetings are going to be a lot more exciting than ours. So congratulations on that. So Friday, this coming Friday at the Horseshoe Casino in Chicago, even though it's actually Hammond, Indiana, but it's still in the same area. Tell us, for those who have not seen your show live, tell us a little bit about your live show.
live show since inception, and you were the first one, if you remember.
Yeah.
Or with the first one. It's gone through about 4 or 5 years now of change, and it's a 2-hour, multi-sensory, exciting time that the guests get a chance to interact and basically dictate what I do, from the food I use to the utensils I use, the heat. Am I using, I don't know, straitjackets, handcuffs? What is going to happen? And it's really interesting to see how people want to mess with me or test me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun. Great for kids, great for families. We honor our military and do some good things.
So, and one of the things I think about is your crew, who of course work on just about every whim you have, as far as the amount of shopping that needs to be prepared. Because how much groceries do these guys pick up for a show?
Well, it's funny because I don't get a chance to see it. I have Shane or Daryl and the team do that. They pick out the most unusual foods of the area and what it's known for, and they trade a stump to me with them.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say kudos to you, sir, because not often we get to hear straitjackets and handcuffs and family-friendly show in the same breath. That's a good one.
Well, I used to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches 6 foot upside down in a straitjacket. but you never know what's coming next, right? That's
right.
The fun part of it's almost like Dinner Impossible meets Restaurant Impossible meets Saturday Night Live and Worst Cooks of America.
Yes, of course. And I know from seeing it, there's a lot of audience participation. People, of course, try. Some folks are able to try the food, but I know you do even something as simple as the different taste in oils that you cook with, because that's something we normally don't shoot back with a beer chaser. But you make people think about the food that they work with.
I want people to understand and take something away, no matter what it is. If the child takes the fresh food is good away, or the mom takes the grapeseed oil is better than olive oil, salt is used if it's best from sea salt and instead of iodized salt. There's always a lesson in things that we do in a fun way. You know, adults are like children. They learn if they're having fun. It's much easier. So we try and make it as much fun as possible with a take home for a lot of different things. So it's interesting to see how the children react and how adults change. And you can see that pretty much after the show is finished and social media and how they try dishes and they send pictures. And it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. What has been the craziest challenge and or the most difficult dish that you've had to do on stage?
Oh, Matt, every week or every show, I should say, there is something more silly. I've had gummy bears. Pig's feet, lobster, what are them things? Who? Lucky Charms. Make a dish out of it in 20 minutes. And they get sillier and sillier. But more importantly, we actually figure out how to create a dish that actually tastes good. And that you would actually, where am I going, left or right? Sorry,
it's okay.
Guys.
It's okay.
I'm trying to drive at the same time as talk to you. So more importantly, we figured out how to make food taste good that you never thought would ever go together by using their techniques of boiling, baking, frying, blending, all those type of things that we do in kitchens, but without an oven.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bake without an oven? Good question, right?
Right. I've used ground up cornflakes for a coating, but I've never imagined Lucky Charms. So,
they're disgusting. They're too sweet for me. I don't know how anybody can eat them.
I think maybe a little spice, cayenne pepper, maybe salt and pepper to help, dull the sweetness a little bit.
Yeah, they need a lot of help.
And again, it's a lot of fun up at Horseshoe Casino up in Hammond, Indiana, Chicago on Friday. And there's a good chance Robert's going to more than likely be able to hang out and talk to people afterwards. I know you're really good about trying to meet as many people as you can.
Yeah, I want people to have a great experience. Not everybody can go to a restaurant. Everybody can go to a taping and help with the Restaurant Impossible or any other show. So it's a great time to get meet and greet. Find out what's going on with their family life, their community, and you know, one thing, Matt, that the show does, the sale of the product that we, you know, books and T-shirts, and luckily enough, I've got a brand new book coming out on the 10th of August. Some people have already received the pre-orders that were specially signed and hardback covered. But, you know, that money goes to help our charity, our 501c3 Roller Line Foundation, and help Gary Sinise and Kids with Cancer and all those things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so people can actually help somebody else by going to the show.
So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, how have your burger flipping skills gone? Or no, I say, how has Gary's burger flipping skills gone since
it's
you last
time? Every time I have a game with Gary, and it's kind of fun. If he flips a burger three times and catches it, he gets $5,000 to his charity from my own pocket, which is fun.
Well, to be fair, he could always throw his Of Mice of Men script and say, learn this.
He's an amazing actor, but he's an even more amazing humanitarian, and what he does for our veterans and active duty men and women and firefighters and all those guys in uniform is amazing. I'm just blessed and honored to be able to help him do that. Our focus is very aligned, and we do a lot of stuff together, so it's really cool.
So tell us a little bit more about Fit Fuel, because I know it's a combination of how you know, what you do as far as a physical regimen as well as a culinary regimen, right?
So Fit Fuel is a book that I wanted to do that nobody else wanted to publish. They wanted me to do a cookbook, and I wanted to show the correlation between food and fitness and families. So this book is not for just men. It's for women. It's for children. It's for families that can do things together. There's beautiful exercises in there. There's lots of tips on how to buy, what all those buzzwords mean on the side of packages, some great, simple, healthy recipes. I think it's about 200 pages in the book, or just under 200 pages. It's a great read. The pictures and photography is fantastic. Matt Tuthill, who helped me do the book, is an amazing guy. Fitness, you know, I've been writing for Muscle Fitness for 3 years, or 4 years almost, and working with him and on the book, and my team, Shane, and the rest of the guys. We produced a book that I truly believe is something very different. And it's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this something where you can pick a particular day, like to work on your arms or your back, and then a particular recipe that goes with it, or can you mix and match?
There are both. You can follow my direction of workouts, or you can mix and match and do your own. The same with the nutrition. There's lots of great sidebar tips that help you understand what we think we understand about what fat does and what acids do, you know, lemon juice, lime juice, et cetera, et cetera, and how to cook food correctly. So I have to tell you, I was so excited when I saw the book. I was like a little kid because we've worked on this for a year and we self-published it, which means we can make more money to give more money away.
Mm-hmm. Gee, I wonder what you're going to be giving to everybody at Christmas.
Humbug.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the muscular Scrooge. That is Robert Arvid. That's so not true.
My wife is the best giver.
Uh-huh.
Dale's the best giver. She has the best thoughtful gifts always.
Oh, cool. So, you know, my birthday.
She's looking at me right now saying, yeah, I am. I do.
Remind her, Emma's birthday is November 5th and mine's December 19th.
she's listening to you.
Now, are you going to do a book tour? Are you going to do a book signing tour?
We're doing some stuff as we're on the road, but the schedule is so busy. We're filming season 12 of Restaurant Impossible. We've got another couple of shows coming up. Our military travels are taking us back to Afghanistan, back to a few places that we've been. We were just in Patrick Air Force Base with the 45 Space Wing last week. So, you know, unfortunately, we can't do like a traditional book tour, but we do things when we can. I want the book to be able to sell itself. I don't want to go and because we meet and greet people everywhere we go, right? So
yep.
It's not like, oh, we've got to go to Scottsdale, Arizona and do a book tour. We do Scottsdale, Arizona, we'll do a show, we'll do a dinner, and we'll do books, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we get that opportunity that a lot of people don't.
Well, Robert, I don't see yourself going to a Barnes & Noble in a smoking jacket and reading excerpts from Fit Fuel. I think you would come up with something a little crazier than that.
Yeah, we take it in the middle of Afghanistan and take the recipes and feed the men and women in uniform that stand and watch every day so we can do what we're doing right now.
There you go.
And that, to me, is more important than me, as you said, going to Barnes & Noble. I want to be amongst the people that give so much of their life and their sacrifice, their family sacrifice, so we can do what we do. And you know how important that is to me. So,
of course.
Yeah, we do some strange stuff.
Well, if I find any Shakespearean sonnets about cooking, I'll send them to you. So don't worry about that. now my film show producer Kobe is here, and of course the man who created the artwork of Be Calm and Know Your Food Costs. I'm asking on his behalf. In Fit Fuel, do you have any soup recipes that he could? Kobe's not the biggest soup fan in the world, and I'm trying to change his mind on this.
I've got 1,000 or 2,000 or 4,000 soup recipes that you can go online, either on my site or on foodnetwork.com. There is some stuff in Fit Fuel for that, but I want him to get the best of the best. So why doesn't he download all 4,000 of them and do one or two a day? You can freeze it. You can eat it. You can give them for gifts. And, you know, are you single? Is he single?
No, he's married. He's a married man with a cat.
That's just some light weekend reading.
And his wife would love a different soup every day, made by his hands and made with love. And the cat, well, the cat can eat leftovers.
See, I'm just, again, this has been my quest since we've worked together on the film show. When he told me he was not a fan of soup, I'm like, you just haven't had the right soup.
Well, that's for sure. Soups are amazing. I love soups. Gail loves soups. I don't know anybody doesn't like soup.
Thank you.
Come on, man. Get
nice to talk to you too, Robert.
Get your soup, otherwise we're going to come over there and I'm going to send Gail with you a bowl of soup for you or something.
There you go. Now, you said you have Restaurant Impossible coming up again soon. What's been cool has been seeing different challenges as far as venues and the types of restaurants. Can you give us a sample of what we might be in store for as far as...
Well, I can tell you the whole season 12 is ambushed. That people have no idea that I'm coming, and I don't know where I'm going. And it's been... We just finished one in Chicago, outside Chicago yesterday, and it's very challenging because we can't get volunteers because they don't know I'm coming. I can't give it away. It's hard to get supplies because we can't go shopping until, obviously, we spring the surprise on these people, because we don't want to give anybody, you know, I walk around somewhere, people know I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me, I'm hidden when I arrive at the dark of night, and I'm not let out until the morning when we surprise these folks.
Well, that's an interesting twist on that. I mean,
it's very exciting for me, because it's something like what we did at Heroes Welcome when we surprised the military guys in Hawaii and rebuilt their home. It's just exciting because these folks have applied maybe a year ago or 4 months ago or whatever, and they have no clue whatsoever that I'm just going to walk in and say, hey, I'm doing your restaurant right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
That's a new twist, because there have been many times that Emma and I have watched a show and you walk in and Emma has said, you mean that's the best they've done knowing he's coming? As far as the decor and the cleaning and all that.
You wait till you see some of these. We finished two of season 12 for you.
Do you have an aspirin endorsement?
You're in for a treat right now. And a Tums. Yeah,
Maalox.
Yeah. Tom's gone to the stratosphere, pulling his hair out with me. So, yes, it's going to be a very exciting... I think we come back out with a new season of somewhere around the 22nd of October,
mm-hmm.
Which will be very exciting because, I've done a distillery. It's very interesting. I think you're going to love it, and you'll tell me anyway because that's what you do. I love that.
Yes.
And the guests.
Yeah, I know.
And we're moving to Thursdays.
Oh, Thursday, okay.
So we'll have a new show called Chopped Impossible. For 4 episodes, a very special series called Chopped Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will air the hour before the new ambush-style Restaurant Impossible comes on. So we'll have 2 hours of Rob Irvine television going forward.
We will work. We'll have to work on RITV.
Yes. Yeah. So it's all good. I can't complain.
And then I think you're also going to make an appearance on Rachel's kids cooking competition show. Am I right?
Yes, I was with Rachel with the kids. And it's funny because this season is the first time that we've eliminated a child. That sounds really weird.
I would say,
normally we tell children that everybody's a winner. And in real life, it's not. It's not like that, and we know that.
Right.
So I get to be the bad guy and send one home.
Yes. Yes, it's the elimination in the competitive sense of the word. That's
yes,
it's all about
absolutely not the elimination in the other way.
In the action movie sense of the word. Yeah, I know. It's all about word choices.
Yeah.
Now speaking of
that's why you do what you do and I do what I do.
Yeah. Believe it or not, this is your pledge dollars at work right now. So now speaking of Impossible, have you been able to see the latest Mission Impossible film?
No, but I've heard it's absolutely amazing. What is your take on it? Rogue Nation. I've heard it's amazing, and I love action-packed stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you and Tom Cruise give the Impossible title visitation rights. It's that sort of thing. I can tell you it's
funny because we wanted to use his music for Dinner Impossible. And
ooh.
We had to reformat it because he wouldn't let us use it.
Yeah, that's a tough. That's a tough. That's I'm sure that was a tough exchange. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I'm sure it would be expensive too.
Exactly. What's fun about the films is, you know, they're all standalones. This was Emma's first Mission Impossible film. And it kind of reminds me of the Bond stuff where, you know, you don't have to watch them in a particular order to enjoy them. And this one, of course, has an action sequence that has nothing to do with the rest of the film. And it's the one that you've seen in the trailer with Tom Cruise hanging out of a flying plane, which he actually did.
Yes, I watched the Entertainment Tonight piece on that where he did hang on the fuselage, correct?
Yes. Yeah, he did that, ladies and gentlemen. He did that so we don't have to, I think. So thanks,
yeah,
Tom.
I would do that for fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Irvine at home.
Yeah, that would be kind of neat. I'm all about, you know, Gail and I did the Golden Knights. We jumped out at 14,000 feet and all that stuff. I like that adventure stuff.
Well, Kobe and I, our adventure is to be on the ground with popcorn watching you do that. So, you know, thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, look at that. That's cool.
Boy, that's really high up there.
Yeah, listen, there's only one way. If you're gonna go, you better go in a big way.
Out with a bang.
Out big way.
Out with a bang, not with a whimper.
That's it. Hey, listen, I want a big shout out. There's a young lady by the name of Juliana who has. I want to tell you a little quick story. She
Please.
Is 10 years old. Beat cancer 5 times, and. Unfortunately, the cancer just returned to beneath her heart, and I FaceTime with her all the time and talk to her when she's going through her radiation and chemo. And I want to, you know, send prayers out and make sure all the listeners can pray for her and her family because they're going through a tough time right now. So
absolutely.
If you could do that for me, I would appreciate it.
No
I know
problem.
You're a good man.
Yeah, you can go to we'll keep that'll be on there, and then you can go to your Twitter page as well as RobertIrvine.com to learn more about that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's you know, being 10 is tough enough on a daily existence, let alone to have that a stumbling block like that, big time.
Hey, we just support as many of these great young kids as we can, and give them as much fun, and try and take that daily grind out as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
But I know she watches the show, and she's huge watching movies, and so. When I talk to her later on my FaceTime, I will tell her, "Hey, listen, I just talked about you."
That's right.
So
she has Indiana love, absolutely.
I will send her that.
How are your girls doing?
My girls are doing great. They're busy. Annalise's getting ready to go to University of Central Florida in a week or so, and Talia's running around. They're just moving house, close to a beach.
Uh huh.
With their mom, and just great. Gail sitting by the side of me, listening. I've got Ryan behind me and Daryl, and the rest of the gang are already at Camelback, so we'll gonna have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you need like summer holiday. You need a double-decker bus for your entire crew.
Actually, we've got an SUV that I'm driving, and we got a group of people behind in a bus type thing, and some are already there.
Cool, cool.
I said, make sure you save me the master suite. That's all I care about.
You need room.
Some quality time with my wife.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure you'll watch a movie of some kind. You have my list of suggestions.
You'll be the first to know. If we go to Rogue Nation, I'll be sending you a text in about, 2 hours.
Exactly.
That's our time when Gail and I are off together. We love the movies. We've talked about this before. Two or three movies in a couple of days. Normally we go back to back on one day if we can find two that we like that sync together. Time-wise, so yes, it's that downtime and a little warm here, so I won't be sitting by any pool. I've got delicate skin. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you're a porcelain man, of course.
That's it. I'm a porcelain man.
You
listen.
Yeah,
I've got to love and leave you.
Okay.
Because I'm about to pull up into this location, and there's going to be a lot of noise.
Okay.
I really appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your radio show. I appreciate what you do. I love your family. And Gail, what do you want to say? Oh, my goodness. What do you want to say?
Oh, hi.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. She's like on cloud nine right now, looking at a mountain.
Yeah, talk to me or look at a mountain. I understand. I know where I sit. It's okay.
It's really cool. Sorry.
No.
This is sexy.
I'm sexy,
yeah.
Yes, it's nice to have an in your title, sir. Well, look, guys, have an avocado facial and a mojito for us, and enjoy your holiday, and we really appreciate being a part of the show. Don't forget, folks, Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana, this Friday. Go see Robert and tell him Film Sociology sent you. You've been warned. Thanks, Robert.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, have fun. Bye. There we go, Robert Irvine. I'm sexy, but he's sexier. So that's right up there with It's a Real Show. It's terrific.
It's terrific.
Robert Irvine has declared me sexy. I can hear my family laughing their butts off right now. And thank you, Gail. I'm glad to know talking to me is your second choice. Looking at a mountain or talking with me. That's fine. I can live with that.
That was cool.
Yes. And now you have soup recipes.
4,000.
You're bound to find one thing you like.
I do like Tom Yum soup.
Cool. See?
Lemongrass soup, more commonly referred to.
Yes. And you should get the Bombay East gin with lemongrass in it.
Mm. I also love Bombay.
You do love. We are pro Bombay here at Film Sociology, as well as pro Robert Irvine. Yeah, once again, Robert Irvine live at a Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana. The promos say Chicago. It's really Hammond on Friday. It's a lot of fun. Go check that out. So, yeah, so we have movies and soups and avocado facials and just, ladies and gentlemen, this is again, there's lots going on. You can go check out Ricky and the Flash, as well as Shaun the Sheep and Irrational Man, three very different films. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation is still out in theaters, and of course Singing in the Rain at the IMA. So
that's right.
You can
go down to IU Cinema before all the kids get there
and check out the Wolfpack, and go to Ma Bears for us and tell her hey.
Mo Bears.
And so anyway, weather wise or not, regardless, there's no excuse for you to say there's nothing to do in our fair state and our fair city. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people.
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Go check out Robert Irvine Friday up in Hammond at the Horseshoe Casino. Go to his website. Send Juliana some love. And pat me on the head the next time you see me, because Gail's looking at a mountain. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.
Get some soup.